Game one on Friday night. Joining us from AstrosDaily.com, James Anderson on the line. James, how you doing?
Scott Barzilla.
Oh, we got Scott Barzilla today. Scott, how you doing?
Doing great.
Hey, okay. Now, the Astros lose last night. What did you take out of that game?
Well, I think I took a couple of things out. Number one, it looks like Sean Chacon is regressing to the mean. I mean, he was doing good early in the season, but I think he's becoming the pitcher that, you know, he always has been. But really, you know, the positive is this is the kind of game that we would have lost about 12-1 or 13-1 the last couple of years. But, you know, they came back, and if they had a couple of clutch hits here and there, they would have made it really close.
Now, you know, obviously people, you know, say the month of May is important, but not that important because it's May. At the same time, the Astros ended the month of May on a dreaded note. They had the horrible road trip. They lose to your rivals in the division. How much could that road trip hurt the Astros down the road?
Well, I think I look at it a different way. We've played the least amount of home games in baseball. So if we can, you know, just have a record where, you know, we win, you know, a half of our road games and, you know, 60% of our home games for the rest of the year, we'll be competitive.
Yeah. Also, last night announced, or it was the first night that Jose Cruz Jr. did not play because he's not part of the team anymore, but Abercrombie did play and was given one at bat. What do you think of Abercrombie, first of all?
Well, I think Abercrombie is one of those guys who's got all the tools and knows exactly what he's doing, except he's in the batter's box. Kind of reminds me of Serrano from Major League. You know, he hits great ball very much, but, you know, he needs Joe Boo. I think that's what it comes down to. That's why he hasn't been a big leaguer, you know, for any extended period of time.
I got you, James. James, now, you know,
Scott Barzilla today.
Scott,
I thought it was James too, but
yeah,
Scott, yeah.
Scott, Mr. Zilla. Can you give us a little bit about or your thoughts on JR? JR is now down in Round Rock. Obviously, the time for him, not necessarily Astros have given up on him, but it's time for him to, you know, take a new direction with the team. What are your thoughts on that and how it came about?
Well, I think, unfortunately, they let him go a little too long. But otherwise, I'm not really, you know, all that concerned. I think when you look at rookies, most rookies, you know, fail the first time they're up, have to go back. You know, we're looking at a guy that didn't spend maybe, you know, 2 weeks in AAA or 3 weeks in AAA last year. So, you know, he needs to go back, and he'll have another opportunity, and that's when we're really going to see whether or not he's the future or not.
Yeah, it's a tough situation because, you know, the guy was up here and he had such a great, you know, little stint, I would say, last year. And now, do you think that there's a chance that the confidence is maybe broken too deep and it'll take the whole season in Round Rock? Or do you think he's going to have an opportunity a couple of weeks, you know, getting his thing straight and he'll be back up here, especially with Umberto now being here?
Well, I think that's really going to be up to him. I mean, every guy is different. You know, and we're really going to see, you know, these first couple of weeks when he's down there, what he's made of. If he continues to struggle, then he might have to spend that whole season down in AAA. But you know, hopefully, you know, he'll get some good at-bats, you know, get things going, and maybe come right back up.
Talking to Scott Barzilla from AstrosDaily.com. When you send a player down and he does not perform on the AAA level, do you fear that he's a lost cause because of the mental hits that he might take throughout that process?
Well, I think that's true, and I think when you're looking at it, I mean, most players, you know, most young players don't make it. I mean, that's why, you know, there are so few guys that, you know, that make it in the big league. So, you know, we'll just have to wait and see on him. I mean, there's guys that go down, come back up. I mean, the best example I can think of is Ensberg and Everett. Mm-hmm. Who got the opening day assignment back in 2002. Both of them were sent back down when they failed, came back the next year, and were regulars for the next 4 or 5 years.
Scott, have you got a chance, I'm pretty sure you have, to kind of analyze the draft? Was it a surprise that Jason Castro was taken at 10 and the amount of pitchers that the Astros got? What's your assessment of the Astros draft this past week?
Well, I'm one of those. I don't try to look too much into the draft.
Gotcha.
You know, the day or two after. From what I understand, Castro is more of a signability kind of person. Some people were surprised that we took a catcher, but you look at our system, we, you know, the fact that we had to wait so long to send poles down kind of tells you the speed of our catching in the system. And so we're pretty desperate for catching, even, you know, even though you do have poles. I think the really key that I like to see is that we're signing so many of these guys so soon, you know, signing six of the first 25, three of the top six. I mean, that's what killed them last year. You know, it doesn't matter how talented the guy is if you can't sign. So I think if this new regime can sign these guys and bring them in, it's a positive step forward.
Scott, you know, one more question here. As far as the Astros go, we've hit the third, over a third of the season now. Do you feel, you know, with all the changes, a new manager, several free agent and trade acquisitions, is this about where you thought the Astros would be? Is it lower? Is it higher? What's your thoughts on the first third of the season in the Astros?
I think it's about where I thought they would be. And, you know, I think this is where you go back to the draft and why it's so very important. When you look at this team, there aren't very many players that you might say, wow, I didn't realize he could do that. I mean, pretty much most of them, with the exception of Bergman, are playing right around where they should be.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's when you look at the rest of the division. I mean, you see guys like Giovanni Soto in Chicago who are ripping it up. You see, of course, Jay Bruce and Edison Volquez, you know, ripping it up in Cincinnati. I mean, so many of these other teams have young players who are surprising. And when you look at our system, there's just nothing. So I think Ed Wade should be commended, you know, for bringing in enough talent for this team to be in contention. But beyond that, there's just nothing in the system to push them over the top.
Hey, what did you think of the bullpen yesterday and throughout the week so far? The bullpen, you know, just trying to get their act together, trying to hold games closer. Samson was now part of the bullpen now. What did you think of the whole bullpen in a snapshot real quickly?
Well, I think I really like the bullpen. I think what we're seeing is we're seeing Villarreal. He had some early struggles. It looks like coming more of the pitcher that we thought he would be. Of course, we're seeing the same thing with Valverde. I think Samson is a better fit in the bullpen. I mean, he doesn't have great stuff. So what you're looking at with him is he's a guy that can maybe fool you one time through the order, but when you get to that second time, people are really going to start nailing him. So having him in the bullpen where you can only go through one time is probably a better fit for him.
Talking to Scott Barzilla from AstrosDaily.com, our weekly segment with the site. Talking some Astros, Cardinals, they're going to go ahead and throw out the first pitch at 1:05 p.m.
Yes,
so if you're stopping by to Minute Maid Park to watch your Astros play, come on by the bus. We're going to be here till 1 p.m. Scott, the big story of the week, I think, has to be Moeller. He's 3-2, has a 3.76 ERA, has given new life to the Astros when he gets on the mound. Now, is this something that could be just a pipe dream that he could become a number two guy, number three guy, or is this, is this legit?
I hate to rain on anybody's parade, but I don't think Moeller's going to be a number two starter anytime soon. I think he is a guy that can give you innings at the bottom of the rotation. But it's a lot like Chacon was early in the season. Everybody was, you know, so pleasantly surprised. And I don't think Chacon's going to have too many outings like he had last night. But he is a guy that every once in a while is going to get hit hard. And I think Moeller is the same way. People praise him for hitting the strike zone a lot. But when you throw a lot of strikes, sometimes those strikes are going to get hit hard.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's going to happen eventually. But, you know, we might as well enjoy it while it lasts.
Scott, and we're on Scott Wazilla of AstrosDaily.com. Scott, now, obviously many people feel as though the minor league system for the Astros is somewhat depleted. And if the Astros being, I think, seven games out now, if the Astros were to hover around this area All-Star break, you brought up the great point that the least amount of home games, the schedule at some point is going to ease up a little for the Astros. Do you see any specific moves that they can make in trading maybe a minor leaguer for someone or maybe a bench player, i.e. a Darren Erstad, a Jeff Blum, you know, somewhere around there to get a starting pitching? And would that be the first move you would see the Astros needing to make to get starting pitching?
I think so. I think what the key is right now, 17 of their next 23 games are home. So after this stretch, we're going to know what kind of team we have. We're going to know if we're going to be a contender. If we're still, you know, hovering around the 500 mark after these next 23 games, I mean, you might see us start looking in the other direction. We don't have a lot of tradable pieces, unfortunately. Oswald's tied in. Berkman's got a no trade. Lee's got a no trade, which you might see, you know, if somebody wants a Mark Loretta or if somebody wants a Darren Erstad, just to get some minor leaguers in the system.
What other steps can the Astros take? All right, now we've seen their struggles, we've seen where they're good at, and you hit a great point. The next 23 games could be really important in terms of what direction they take. But what do you think? Give me three things the Astros can improve on to take the step towards the right direction after those 23 games.
I think number one, just getting some stability with that lineup. Looking at it in the National League, they are last and walk drawn. They are a very free-swinging lineup. And when that happens, you know, guys like Lee and Tejada can get really hot or really cold. Mm-hmm. We've seen that with both of them, you know, this year. I mean, Tejada started off great. Now he's back down to about 300. But really what they need is they need guys like Horn and whoever's going to be the catcher to step them. Because if you're going to go with a six-man lineup, if any of those six end up having a cold streak, your offense is crippled. So they really need Bourne to keep hitting. They need Osmus or Quintero or whoever else they can find up off the street at catcher. They need those guys to hit. That would be the first thing. And I think the second thing is they just, Oswald really needs to get back to where he has been. And the most terrible situation, I think, is Berkman last year. You know, Berkman was struggling, said he was physically right, but just couldn't get it going until the second half. Hopefully, if we can get Oswald on the same pattern, you know, if he can become a second-half pitcher, then I think we'll be back. And then the third thing, I think, is just to keep the bullpen performing the way it has.
You know, Scott, those are, you know, I mean, granted, if two of those things ended up happening, it'll be amazing. Can you give us a little take on the NL Central? Obviously, Milwaukee's done well within the last 2 weeks. St. Louis is hovering right around, kind of higher than expected. And then, obviously, the Cubs are playing phenomenal right now. Do you see the Astros having a possibility to make the playoffs, either winning the Central or the Central just running away and then being the wild card?
I think the possibility is definitely there. Before the season, on the boards, I predicted that the wild card would come out of the Central. I think people at that time thought I was crazy, but right now the Central is the best division in the Central. I mean, in the National League. There were 28 games above 500 the last time I looked, you know, compared to only two teams being above 500 in the West. So I think that's very possible. Milwaukee does look very good. I mean, they've got a lot of great young hitting. St. Louis, you never really know with them because their pitching is so bad. But if they continue to get good young hitting from Ryan Ludwig and from others in Ankiel and others in that lineup, then they could also be a force to be reckoned with. So yeah, It'll be a very interesting race. I mean, I think Pittsburgh is the only team that you know is not going to be in it. You know, because Cincinnati, if Dave Bruce continues to hit 600, who knows?
Hey, the way the national media is making that to be, I think he's going to be hitting 800 for what it looks like.
What they talk about.
Hey, before we let you go, Scott, tonight there's going to be the amazing sports stories is going to be focusing here at home. Bill Bradley, Bob Aspromonte, talk about that. Give the listener a little information about that.
Oh, Bob Aspromonte, actually, you know, he's kind of in what we call an extended friend of the family of the Barzola clan. Really a steady, good third baseman, you know, 19. And it's just one of those heartwarming stories where, you know, he promises a kid he'll hit a home run and produces.
Yeah.
You know, which, you know, I was looking at a stat the other night. He had hit only 51 home runs, you know, as a Colt 45. So, you know, that is a really special moment. Yeah, it always makes me wonder how many times players are actually able to deliver on that. I mean, see the Seinfeld episode where Paul O'Neill, you know, is supposed to produce two home runs.
Mm-hmm.
It just makes me wonder, you know, how many times do you have a guy, you know, he's going to hit a home run, he strikes out four times. But it is a very heartwarming story, and he's really a great guy. And great, you know, former Astro.
Yeah, and that's going to be on Fox Sports. Amazing sports stories. AstrosDaily.com has more information on it if you want to read up on it. It's going to be on tonight, right?
That's correct.
All right, so check that out. Hey, Scott, thank you for joining us on the AstrosDaily.com segment.
Oh, no problem. Love to do it again.
Yeah, we'll catch up with you guys next week. All right, we're going to take a break here. We're live at the bus. We're going to be here till 1 p.m. Brought to you by GoDish.com. We're across Minute Maid Park. Coming up next. All right, Rodney, it's your call. Do you want to do your call-up, or do you want to get into the Lakers-Celtics?
I'll do the call-up.
All right.
I'll do the call-up, and then because it looks like Didi, because I know we had some, we took a little trip, so she wants to get in a little bit on the Lakers-Celtics.
Okay.
She was like, I don't know about this Astros game, but hey, I got to make sure I'm done by time for Lakers-Celtics. I know Captain Rocket